Ah, wondrous stuff. Okay, Linda Hewitt, welcome to the team. How are you?
Hello. Welcome.
Good.
That's, I'm very well, yes, thank you.
You've had a bit of a traumatic time drive-wise.
No, traumatic just because I was listening to Siren Radio.
Well, there we are.
Fantastic,
perfect.
Yeah.
The ideal sort of accompaniment.
A bevy of fabby people. So, lovely to be here.
Exactly. Well, thank you for being our official celebrity judge for the second official Midweek Drive bake-off. People have talked about it for many years. Ben Lewis is tweeting like a crazy scenario. And Ben, the hashtag is...
Off bakes.
Hashtag off bakes.
So radical.
No, it's all. Now you're part of the second phase of judging because Professor Jason Whittaker will be joining us in a few moments to be part of the third phase. Carolyn Williams has already cast her views in terms of overall. What are your initial thoughts so far?
Well, first of all, I was impressed. Table of lovely glittery stuff and some fantastic risers as well. I do like a lofty bun. It was all looking very good. Obviously, there was one that just like hit me.
Yeah, well, we can't say anything. Obviously.
No, I'm not going to. No spoilers. Yeah. Just because, a little teaser. There were some very smart cakes, though.
I started to call it bomb surprise if we actually were ticking in a bomb surprise.
Oh.
As you know, Cameron, we've been talking about this for a few weeks. I think your suggestion was cookie towers. Well, you'd be pleased to know none of the Midweek Drivettes have actually gone for that. You know, so it's good to see that the influence is still carried across the airways, which is one of the stuff. We can actually say next week, Cameron. In place of the Midweek Drive, for 1 week only, a special rerun of Sound and Country Vision with yourself and the slightly tardy Tessa Snart. She's wonderful.
That's good. I'm still stuck on the phrase lofty buns. That may mean an entirely different thing.
Lofty buns pretty much translates as you originally conceive of the whole thing, really. You know,
yes.
We need more lofty buns in society to help us grow. That's effectively the line we should be taking across the airwaves today. So much to pack into the show. Camo, would you like to launch with your first official country music selection, which actually suggests we're being kicked out of country? So take it away, please.
George Strait is the king of country, and he kind of retired from touring a couple of years ago. He's had over 60 number one songs, which is more than anybody ever. But he's having a hard time getting radio airplay now because country radio tends to be a little bit more pop driven. So a lot of the more traditional artists have been driven out. He wrote this song with Jamie Johnson, who's another traditional guy, and it came from kind of a conversation they were having, and one said to the other, "Oh, I guess they kicked you out of country too," and the song happened. This is it. This is on the George Strait Straight Out of the Box Volume 2 box set, which is just incredible. It just came out, and I think you're going to like it a whole bunch. This is Kicked Out of Country. George Strait is on Siren FM.
Just got the news today. The record I sent them, they threw it away. Don't fit the format, don't make the list. They say I'm too old, won't even be missed. It happened to Jones and even the Hag, Waylon and Willie and the great Johnny Cash. Kicked them right out without even a word. But that ain't the end of the story I heard. 'Cause Cash stomped out the footlights, and Haggard Plum had a ball, and Willie and Waylon and Chris toured the nation, and Jones never showed up at all. Well, they lived what they wrote, and they wrote what they sang. Getting kicked out of country didn't hurt a thing. Getting kicked out of country didn't hurt a thing. Mm-hmm. just wrote a new song today. Pulled out my old guitar and I started to play, pressing my fingers into the strings. I felt the feelings a country song brings. I did some Jones and one for the hang, Waylon and Willie and the great Johnny Cash. They all got kicked out of country back then. And then one day country came calling again. And Cash stomped out the footlights, and Haggard Plum had a ball, and Willie and Waylon and Chris toured the nation, and Jones showed up after all. They lived what they wrote, and they wrote what they sang. Getting kicked out of country didn't hurt a thing. Getting kicked out of country didn't hurt a thing. Well, it don't really matter, 'cause I ain't gonna change. So getting kicked out of country won't hurt a thing.
So we'll move briskly around the team to find out what they made of George Strait and Kicked Out of Country. Natasha.
Yeah, I really liked it. I think it had elements in there of, I'd say a bit of Bruce Springsteen actually feel to it in some parts. I thought it was really good.
Martina?
I liked it. It was quite relaxing.
Good. Slow. Good. Sue?
I am quite taken by George's voice. It's very nice indeed.
Splendid. Hannah?
I liked it. It was very, very country, even though he was saying he was kicked out of country.
Yeah, I mean, you always thought it was like a UKIP commercial, wasn't it? Oh, sorry, no politics, it's Christmas. And Linda?
I think you're doing a great job remembering everybody's name here.
Yeah.
There's so many of us.
Just been joined by David J. Howe and Sam Stone from the Stone Tapes as well.
Yay, I'm more of a Bruce Springsteen fan myself. But my late father, was a massive George Strait fan. And he kind of lived his life according to the gospel of George Strait.
Oh.
He would listen to the word so carefully. And yeah, that word.
Big thumbs up from Linda there.
Absolutely.
And Tessa?
Just had to pass the mic there.
It's all right. Just don't worry, Tessa. Your voice can carry.
No, I really liked it. It was very traditional. I agree with Hannah. It was very, very country.
Okay, Lewis?
Yeah, it was very listenable.
It's a win all round in every sense of the word.
It's the king, so it can only be a win.
No, the king is Elvis Presley. The last two questions are going to be put to you now by Hannah.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
I sure have.
Will you be joining us again soon?
Yep, be back next time we're back.
We'll catch up with you in 2017, apart from next week's special, which of course is Sound and Country Vision, extra special Christmas routine in place of Midwick Drive.
Do you know how Christmas trees are grown? They need sunshine. Sunshine can't grow Christmas trees alone. They need raindrops. Raindrops can't grow Christmas trees. Here's the reason why. In the winter rain will freeze and the trees will die. Around. He needs snowflakes. Snowflakes cannot do it all, I found. He needs reindeer. Reindeer, even though they try, they need other things. Once a year they have to fly, and they don't have wings.
Do you know how Santa gets around? He needs snowflakes. Yeah.
They need pictures. Pictures can't complete them, I'm afraid. They need greetings. Greetings say what's in your heart. That's what they are for. But when loved ones are apart, Christmas cards need more.
Question is, with it being the last show of the year, do we actually play the jingle for our correspondent from Jersey?
Notes from a very small island can only mean it's time for our top Jersey correspondent, Anna Maria Lewis, on the midweek drive.
Of course we do. Anna, how are you?
Very well. Can I just ask if my colleagues can shout Happy Christmas and Merry, or the other way around, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. We've just finished a little drinky gathering, so can we all shout Merry Christmas?
A little drinky poos gathering. Please, take it away from Jersey.
Merry Christmas!
Whoa! And we're going to reciprocate from the joys of Lincoln, because I think I'm going to ask the team to go back in front of their microphones. They were just moving, giving a few moments rest there.
Siren FM.
Thank you. And the choir actually coming to deliver the first routine. So we've heard that sort of message from Jersey. So collectively, Hannah and Sue and Lois and Tessa and Martina and Natasha, go!
Merry Christmas!
Oh, what joys and wonderment are actually present with the world. Yes, and hopefully we'll get Ed Wellman and his little choir coming in a few moments to actually do a little live scenario. So what's been happening in Jersey as we speak?
Well, we're cranking up for Christmas and New Year. We've just had sections of our society who've had all their little evening gatherings, which involve numerous amounts of mince pies, stollen and wine and apple juice and other various beverages and loads of cheese. My God, we never knew so many cheeses existed as to when our secretary brought these wonderful cheeses in for our Christmas gathering earlier in the week. I don't know if Lincoln's got its own cheese, but you know what? Jersey's got plenty.
I think there's
not of its own, but
there is the Lincolnshire poacher cheese, but our ace cookery expert Linda Hewitt will probably know about cheese in Lincolnshire, Lincoln. Linda?
Yes, and my favourite, and I know a lot of celebrity chefs, their favourite is Lincolnshire poacher.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, right. I must go and see if they've got it in our Waitrose. They didn't have Stinking Bishop when I asked yesterday. Day.
Whoever,
and that's one I'd like to try again.
You say this every year, Anna. Stinky Bishop is just put it to one side, please.
Nobody wants a Stinky Bishop in the house at this time of year.
and Coathill Blue is served at Lord's.
Oh, yes, and that's awesome.
Lord's Cricket Ground.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. These are the top scenarios that's actually there, which is one of the reasons why in the top 20 funniest festive jokes for 2016, courtesy of a UK Gold, a number 5 was, what's David Cameron's favourite Christmas song? All I want for Christmas is EU.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. I've got a few more of those as the show proceeds. Professor Jason Whittaker has actually arrived, so hopefully Ben will ensure that he's brought up to speed. Linda, you would now need to obviously continue with your judging duties, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
So if you head back to the main sort of zone, the third and final phase of the whole routine, and we will move the rest of the team round this side. We'll say a quick hello to Professor Whittaker as well. Also known, Anna, to your heart very fondly as the Blake Man. Okay?
It's
very
Blake
critical.
Man. Yeah,
I know.
Man. Oh, wow. Oh, yes. Smile on my face. So, yeah, definitely.
He always puts a smile on everybody's face when people say it's the Blake Man who's come to town. Isn't that right, Jason?
That's absolutely true.
Exactly. Now, are you set and ready to do judging duties now?
I am extremely ready to do judging duties.
Then you are in the hands of Ben Lewis and in the hands of Linda Hewitt and David J. Howe and Sam Stone. And we will move you into the other studio because clearly this has to be done under top secret conditions.
Absolutely.
All the ideas are there. And we'll see you when you come out with the result, when the white smoke emerges.
It shouldn't be too long. I'm looking forward to it.
There we are. And that, Anna, is what you call the style and panache that only a Blake man can actually deliver, as well as obviously being head of school for Lincoln and Journalism. Head of the School of Lincoln and Journalism, head of the School of English and Journalism at the University of Lincoln. Am I getting signals which suggests now that we have a choir that are ready to come in and actually perform? Anna, are you ready to actually hear a choir come in and perform?
I'm ready to hear a choir, yeah.
Well, then, this is what we're going to do. So Ed Wellman, who's dressed properly for radio, full dinner jacket, ensemble piece, which is very good, assembling the whole thing. Ed, would you like to just explain who these wonderful folk are and what we're about to hear?
Well, Alex, thank you very much for welcoming us to the Midweek Drive. I'm through the door now, processing in a very liturgical style, mm-hmm. and in wonderfully festival colours, are members of the University of Lincoln Choir.
Splendid. And Midweek Drive at Katie Dore.
Indeed, yeah. Indeed. And earlier today we were singing at Age UK in Lincoln for Christmas lunches. Squash up, people. You're going to have to make two roses, too many of you, which is always good. Mm-hmm. On Sunday morning on Lincoln High Street we sang Christmas carols in aid of St Barnabas Hospice. Yeah. And we've got a programme of traditional, well-known and then less well-known carols that we've been singing.
I know it's going to be sensational. Anna, are you ready in Jersey?
I am ready. Yep,
okay, Ed, in your own time, take the magic into operation, please.
So there's a D.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Saviour reigns. Let men their songs employ. O'er fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains. Repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness. And wonders of his love.
So what does the jury in Jersey make of all that? The line has gone dead. They were completely knocked out by that whole thing. Ed, many thanks to you. You're going to be coming back in the second part of the production?
Absolutely, if you'll have us.
I think, what do we think? Yes, well, I mean, actually, you've got Sue Royce and Katie Dore on the side, plus yourself, so you're already sort of voted us out. Really.
We can do you. You can,
I know you should. You can, I know you can, but
choose,
step away.
You can choose from Ding Dong Merrily on High,
yes,
or Silent Night, maybe the studio...
I think we'll take
like
both
to.
In a second now. I think we'll take both. In fact, we might actually ask you back for another one in this hour, actually. So maybe 20 minutes, take time out, 1,200 seconds, and return then, if you will. So as Ryan carefully does the wonderful duties of the classic airline steward of opening the doors to ensure that just as we actually had presented to us at Treasure Island last night at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, everybody is orderly passing from one side to the other, which is all great. A reminder that you're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM. It's Wednesday the 14th. Of December. It's coming up to 21 and a half minutes past 5 o'clock, and we've already heard the fantastic sort of choirs actually there. The cake judging is still taking place, all sorts of things yet to come, including a whole passel of brand new music. And we're also going to be finding out from Larry Namacek exactly what has been happening in terms of the Trek world as far as activities and various other magic things are actually concerned. Natasha, we haven't really had a chance to speak about what you thought of Treasure Island last night, actually.
Oh, I thought it was wonderful. It wasn't what I was expecting. It was I thought it was really great engaging with the kids. I think the scouts really enjoyed it. They're all shouting the answers and joining in, and yeah,
And they seized on a whole range of other passel things as well, which is great
very
stuff.
Interesting great. Accents.
Exactly. Jason's returned. Jason, does this mean we actually have, I mean, as, we can't announce it as yet, but I mean, first of all, your thoughts on the entrance?
My thoughts, incredible. There's what a wonderful selection in there. Yeah, it's a feast for eyes. And apart Linda? From I just wanted to eat half of it as well.
Have you, I think the taste thing is obviously there, but what are your thoughts?
Well, I was totally impressed. Mm-hmm. They look absolutely super. And I had a little look at the score sheet so far.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trending with Blake Man.
Most people like to
follow. I'm not allowed to.
No. Yet. So we'll
no,
sort of hold fire
no
on
spoilers,
that.
No spoilers.
Let's bring in our other two fine celebrity folk who've got our own Christmas show going from that point of view. Sam Stone. Sam, your thoughts on?
Very, very impressed. Mm-hmm. Lovely. They're real eye candy, I should say. Very attractive.
Sounds good. And David?
There's not much of it left at the moment. But yeah. They were really, really, really good. Mm, yes, excellent. Excellent stuff.
Splendid. Well, we will let you prepare and sort out all the other bits and pieces. Ben is tweeting like a whirling dervish in the background there, ensuring that other sort of aspects are put together. Jason, do you have any particular festive tunes which you'd like us to sort of dig out from the system at this stage? You know,
actually, the offers that you made earlier, Ding Dong Merrily and High, that's always a Christmas classic.
Really? Okay. Yes. Well, I mean, we obviously hear the choir provide that system with us in the full time. Well, let's see what Mr. Computer actually has to take us through the whole thing. Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead is the first thing.
That's yeah. Actually, that will do as well.
No!
Yeah.
I'm allergic to that one.
There's something where you just say, no, you just wouldn't be appropriate from that point of view, even if it's sung by Sammy Davis Jr. she think, no, we won't actually go from that perspective. Astoundingly, it's not the Linda. Could you sort of step in with a musical choice for us off?
Oh, absolutely. Tracy Thorn. Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Oh, that reduces me to an emotional wibble-wobble. I love it.
We shall see if Tracy Thorn is actually there. And meanwhile, Jason, now that you've actually almost completed the end of another term at the University of Lincoln as the main man, our manager to whom we all are inspired by and work through, how do you feel it's going? You know, 2016.
When you start referring to me as Lord and Emperor of the Known Universe, my job will have been done.
Sorted.
But at the moment, I'm very much looking forward to Christmas.
It is that sort of time where we're sort of in a whole sort of sequence. I'm afraid Tracy Thorn is not there either. I'm sorry, it's just one of those things.
So you're going to have to
make do with the.
Pick a Christmas carol and we won't be able to play this.
I think that's the classic line. Now, I was going to say you have to make do with your calendar. Linda's already received her calendar.
I think Michael Bublé does a version of that too.
Exactly.
And he's everywhere, isn't he?
I'm just pleased we did the rehearsal for this show because otherwise, the kind of connections that we would have had if we weren't sort of going on that
Last Christmas.
Lou Rawls, Merry Christmas, Baby. And there are a whole heap of other scenarios from that sort of point of view. I tell you what about the Christmas song in Nat King Cole?
Yes, Nat King Cole. Lovely
Makes
job.
Sense.
Definitely.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. From 1 to 92, although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Yes, when in doubt, bring in some Nat King Cole with the Christmas song. Splendid stuff. Larry Nemechek, how are you, sir?
I am doing well. Merry Christmas. Season greetings.
Well, indeed, tis the season to be happy. Ever wonder what to serve at a Klingon Day of Ascension? Just can't remember if you bring a gift to a Urumuri celebration. I can't recall if on Galvin 5 a marriage is considered successful only if children are produced within a year or three of the wedding. And you know that Darmok was on the ocean, but you can't recall just what that means. Star Trek Celebrations is a book that was actually originally produced by Maureen Mateague. Ever encountered that in your role as Dr. Trek, Larry?
I remember the book.
Yeah.
I do. But somewhere between the new expanded encyclopedia and the online, we've got all kinds of ways to dive in and get those. But I'm impressed, Alec. You're up on your Trek holidays.
Oh, it's very much celebrate holidays the Star Trek way, which is what we're doing with Midweek Drive. Infinite diversity in infinite combinations. Tessa, would you like to explain for the benefit of Larry, who may not have been listening online, as he's in California? Why would he? That's what Phil Leonis does. They only have one telephone line that goes through. Would you like to explain what sort of things have been happening on the show so far and what we can also look forward to?
Oh, wow, it's ever so exciting. We're having a bake-off, basically, and we've got a wonderful array of guests looking at them now and seeing which one is going to be the winner.
Oh.
We've had the lovely choir in, and they'll be here again soon, I think, in about... Is it 15 minutes, 20 minutes? Is that right?
They might actually squeeze in a special one for Larry Nemechek, actually.
You've definitely got that to look forward to. And, of course, the results of the bake-off.
The results of the bake-off. It's just, and in terms of numbers, let's do a quick head count. How many folk have we actually managed to work? I think we're well into the 30s.
There's 40
people. Yeah, probably a bit more.
I don't think we've done this before. I think this is a first.
For yourself, it is a first.
I can smell it all through the magic of radio. It's amazing.
We bring you that nasal olfactory notion of radio that you can smell as well. It's just tremendous in so many ways. Natasha, Star Trek. What's your thoughts on the whole Star Trek scenario? Because I know you're a big...
That whole Star Trek thing.
Yeah, the whole thing.
I've not really watched much Star Trek, but if you've got a particular... I don't know if they do Christmas specials like Doctor Who, but if you've got one you'd recommend for me to watch for Christmas, that's particularly Christmassy.
Excellent question. My response would possibly be, and Larry might correct me, the only Star Trek time in the universe that we know of that Christmas has really acknowledged is actually Star Trek Generations. Because in Charlie X, of course, they just talk about Thanksgiving.
That's true, although there's another obscure Christmas reference that I do know. And that's the only time I think it was ever depicted. But there's a time, I can't tell you the episode, but there's a crazy teaser on a Voyager episode where there's a planet, and they're so busy making friends with this planet that the planet is overrunning them with presents and gifts, and they're giving everybody in the Voyager crew wacky gifts. And Janeway says something, or Janeway or Chakotay 1 say something that it's as crazy as a Christmas morning.
Nice. And in over 790 episodes.
That was overwhelming.
But it's good news for Sue Royce, because Sue, you are more of a Star Trek Voyager fan, I believe, particularly 7 of 9.
I do, yeah. I really loved Captain Janeway, but 7 of 9, she was amazing. I think she rocked.
More than...
Truly rocked.
I think the amazing thing about 7 of 9 was people said, "Oh yeah, they've hired this woman to be this bimbo in a cat suit and just look pretty." And then Jeri Ryan was such an amazing actress over the arc of that role; it was incredible.
It just shows. So what are you doing in California then, in terms of the celebrity scenario? Will you be going down to the beach? Is it like Australia? Is it a case of, oh, let's have some more fake snow, bring it on? You know, after all, only a few more weeks before we have President Trump in office.
That was a interesting roundabout that you just made.
Notice.
Yeah, I used to, when my parents were both alive in Oklahoma back home, we used to make a big deal out of traveling. In the last few years, we've just had simpler Christmases and stayed here in LA. And no, really, it's I can't spread Christmas out more than making it about one day and have a lot of parties with different groups, Trek groups and voiceover groups and my business group, and it's felt more elongated the last few years than normal, but we also have fun and try to remember the reason for the season and the cheer and the end of the year and New Year's and all that. So sorry, I don't have a dazzling Hollywood story to tell you.
Larry, you've already addressed it. You know, the lines to our song, the reason for the season and the cheer in the year. It's brilliant. You know, I mean, even at his height, Arthur Freed couldn't have actually come up with better lyrics for Singing in the Rain. But still, there we are. Would you like to?
I should say though, it is. It does feel colder in LA over the last few years at Christmas. And I don't mean that in a metaphorical sense. I mean, we were first here 20 years ago. It was definitely warm. I mean, I definitely think there's a global warming trend going on here because it's been colder more often, which shocks people in LA. But it does get down into the upper 30s and the low 40s at night. And we've had some 40s. I'm talking Fahrenheit here, sorry. But, you know, like 10 Fahrenheit degrees above freezing, 5 above freezing. So that's been interesting. So it's, in one way, it's felt more like Christmas from back home, but I don't know if that's a good thing.
Well, it could be like Christmas in Harwich. I mean, Hannah, any plans for your good self in terms of, does the Brown family all get together and wear party hats and tell extraordinary one-liners such as, what do workers at Sports Direct get for Christmas dinner? About 5 minutes. I know it's a heavy one, but carry on. Sorry, Mag Ashley, had to tell it. What's happening in Harwich?
Well, as usual, me and my younger brother will wake my older brother up early in the morning. Not that early. Mm. I mean, I'm thinking about 8 o'clock, but one year he wrote a sign saying not to wake him up before 10, which I felt was unfair on Christmas morning.
Indeed.
So I ripped up and jumped on top of him.
Good heavens.
Which woke him up fairly well. And we all open presents. The traditional breakfast is freshly made sausage rolls with some chocolate, because why not? It's Christmas.
Oh, exactly.
We then, you know, just have a great day. Watch the Doctor Who episode, obviously. Have Christmas dinner and have a lot of fun.
Clearly, the showrunners, whoever they may be, of Star Trek Discovery, clearly need to actually look at incorporating Michelle Yeoh into some sort of Christmas special. I hope you're on the case for that, Larry. So when you're speaking to the Akudas, maybe suggest that. Maybe they can work it through.
I'll get that. In fact, I'm going down to interview the Akudas as we speak on the double whammy, the Roddenberry Vault CD and the new encyclopedia, which has been a double whammy here for people on the 50th anniversary. Wonderful Christmas present there, both of them.
It's been a sheer delight, and just for your good self, a nice international American-themed one-liner to kind of celebrate the fact that we're not siren newsing today. What's the difference between the clementine in your Christmas stocking and Donald Trump? Answer nothing. They're both a little orange. Okay. He's gone very quiet now. I didn't risk that with Cameron because he would have probably just put the phone down in disgust. You know, just don't know where he'd go. But
no, you're a sick bet,
Alex. Yeah. It's a way forward. Listen, before we wish you happy holidays, at least you haven't put the phone down as they did in Jersey. Honestly, what's happening there these days? The choir wasn't that bad. It's fantastic. They're coming back shortly. Natasha, last two questions, please.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
Oh, as always, indubitably, yes.
And can we see you coming back in 2017?
I hope so. I hope we're all back in 2017.
A round of applause. Look, Larry, we will be. It's only 17 minutes past 8. A round of applause, please.
I'm driving home for Christmas. Oh, I can't wait to see those faces. Driving home for Christmas, yeah. Well, I'm moving down that line. And it's been so long, but I will be there. I sing this song to pass the time away. Driving in my
Ed, congratulations to the whole team. Absolutely superb. Two more to go in the second hour. Any other sort of little highlights you want to mention? Any name checks? Can you remember the names of the people? I mean, I obviously mentioned Katie Dorr and Sue Royce and yourself because
I can remember the names of the ones that I'm scared of.
Right. Okay, that's all right. We'll do the kind of the scary ones first then.
Okay, so we have Natalie.
Oh yes, I can
see
why.
Leading Sopranos.
Yes, yes, yes.
Together with Lynn and Sue, I work with Sue. Yeah. I just momentarily forgot who she was.
Yeah.
And Emma. So that's a selection
that's
of
okay
the ladies.
Then. That's fine.
And a selection of the gents. Of course, we've got Martin from the music department, a lecturer in music. We've got Jordan, who is a final year student in the School of Fine and Performing Arts. A whole range of fine people.
And when are you doing the recording contract?
Ah, oh, well, being signed I haven't mentioned that yet. Thanks for that.
It's important.
I don't want a lot for Christmas.